Bill, good to see you.
How you doing, Glenn?
Doing
Michael,
great.
Coach,
hello,
good to see you guys. How's it going?
It's fine with us. It's the players I'm worried about. They came off the field looking a little ragged today.
No, it's warm out there today, Glenn. We had a good day. We had a lot of things that need to get done. We had pretty much 3 days off after the game. They were off Friday and Sunday. We just had a light workout on Saturday. So, yeah, we're ready to go.
Based on all the different changes we had this year with the different schedule, is the third preseason game still the most significant for the regulars?
I don't know. I think they're all important. I know that's not what you want to hear, but yeah, no, I think they're all important. Every game's an opportunity for us to improve, and every time we can take a step closer to being ready to go on opening day, being ready for the 16-game season, that's progress. Certainly hope we play better than we did in the third preseason game last year.
I can't remember what happened in the third preseason.
Remember.
You remember
the Rams. It was brutal.
Sam Bradford. That's right.
Yeah, some success.
Well, Coach, you've got some serious evaluating to do on a lot of guys, and we were talking earlier about the kickoff, and I know we talked about that last week, but from a coaching perspective, how you're actually being shorted on chances to evaluate guys. That I've seen guys have made the team before on kickoffs, on kickoff returns, showing that they're capable returners or coverage guys, blowing up wedges, going down there and making tackles. What kind of pressure does that put on you to make an even tougher decision come cut time?
There's just a lot less information, Teddy, and we're seeing a lot of touchbacks, so you can evaluate part of the play, their get-off, their downfield speed, maybe how they avoid that first line of blockers, but without the return, you just don't get to see the whole play. So we've had a lot of them in practice. We'll try to evaluate that, but it's just not the same as having those get plays in the game, and you can't really see the players improve because there's not that volume of plays to work with, but that's what it is, so we'll deal with what we have.
I think league-wide also, teams have basically come to that conclusion and think, we can evaluate these guys. I mean, the Bears backed the ball up 5 yards to kick it back from the 30, something you'd ever consider to get that rep for those young guys?
Well, a couple times, we try to take a little bit off the kicks.
You did?
But even some of them, sailed in there, so. But we'll just have to go with what we got. Hopefully, right, we'll get some more opportunities this week. But you're right, though. It's not the ideal situation to evaluate from. And also, there's a lot of players that have made the team. I can remember showing those tapes, to the team after the first couple of kickoff practices and say, Brad Seeley's special teams coach, Brad, put this guy on the first kickoff team. Right. Put him on the first kickoff team because of the way he practiced and give him a chance to cover him in the game. So,
When they changed the rule, did you anticipate that it would be like this, that it would play out like this during the games?
Well, of course. I don't know how anybody could think that if you moved the restraining line up 5 yards that there wouldn't be more balls in the end zone. We'll see what happens in December when it's 20 degrees out there and the ball's not carrying as far. But at this time of year, of course. You see plenty of touchbacks this time of year anyway. And then to put the ball 5 yards closer, I don't know how anybody could think it would be anything but what it is.
I can imagine you just standing up and protesting like hell against this.
I think the kickoff return is a great play. I think it's one of the most exciting plays in the game. And, it can be a great momentum play as a return team because the other team's just scored, and now you have a chance to answer with good field position. And it can be a great momentum play in terms of, putting the defense in good field position. And, of course, the purpose of the rule was to player safety, but I'll tell you, those guys that are running down, they're full speed. If you line them up on the 35 or the 30, they're still running pretty fast when they get down there inside the 30-yard line. So I don't think they've slowed down any. We've just eliminated kickoff returns with all the touchbacks.
And we were talking about it earlier. It seems like it's eliminated that entire part of the game. And the ones that you do see are all manipulated right now. They're purposely doing it so they can run it back. How different is that going to change the strategy of the game when pretty much every team is going to begin on the 20-yard line? It's going to be a rarity now when we get a team that's beyond the 20.
Well, again, it's the same for everybody, so we'll all have to make the best we can out of it. But I just think, philosophically, I've always felt like plays that are non-plays, shouldn't be in the game. I don't think it's good for the game. So, like extra points, when you're up to the 99% range in extra points, it's not a play. Let's move the ball back to the 15, 20-yard line and, make it a tap-in. At least make them putt it. And, same thing with kickoff returns. If we're just going to put the ball on the 20, then put it on the 20. If we're going to have kickoff returns, then, There's a reason why the competition committee and the leagues moved the kickoff yard line back from the 40 to the 35 to the 30 to keep that play in the game. And, you know, now it seems like we're going the other way.
You're right. It's like an intentional walk right now. That's what it is. You know? So, but they go through the exercise of having the guy stand up there and go through the four pitches.
You know? Freaking right. Suits.
Well, defensively last week, I mean, I don't know who you didn't send. You sent the Mike, you sent the Will, you sent the Sam and the Will, you sent the corner a little bit also. Was that a goal last week going into that game? You want to send some pressure. You want to see who can rush, get to the quarterback. You want to see who can cover in a man situation.
Well, yes, I'd say all of the above. We played a lot of man coverage, a lot of one-on-one coverage, and you know, wanted to evaluate the corners and the safeties and the linebackers covering their men, and we did a little bit of five-man pressure, not too much six-man pressure, but a little bit. But you know, we brought five and just tried to play single coverage and see how we held up. And you know, we had obviously some trouble with the scrambling quarterbacks; those guys run around, and we learned something from playing against them. But you know, I thought that we competed pretty well in man coverage and also you know, in rushing the quarterback. So
the five-man pressures you're talking about can turn into a six-man look if the linebacker possibly covering the back is skilled enough to work the hug technique where you have him in man-to-man coverage, but it looks like he blocks, he picks somebody else, and he enters the rush. The linebackers, Gerard, I know Fletcher was out there a little bit, Guyton, it seems like, I mean, they're becoming comfortable with this technique. A few years ago, it takes a little bit to learn this technique. Can you explain what the technique is?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, basically, if I've got a guy in man-to-man coverage and he blocks, then I can add into the rush because he's not taking me out of my coverage by running a pass route. He's staying in, so you can add an extra rusher if you're in man-to-man coverage and your guy blocks. So there's definitely some opportunities for that. And the flip side of that is when you play the blitz zone package, then and you're in zone, then. You know, you drop back into your zones, and it doesn't matter whether the receivers come out or not. You drop into those areas anyway. So it's a little bit of a different scheme. But, you know, our players have worked on that, and I think that, you know, getting some game experience in, it's one thing to do in practice. It's another thing to do it in game situations. And, you know, we did get some looks at that.
I think one of the players that have had success with those techniques you're talking about the last couple of weeks is Dane Fletcher. Mm-hmm. He had been making some progress. I mean, there's something about defensive linemen in college that come in.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's learning how to play linebacker pretty well for you. But it's all that coaching, I guess. But I know Fletch has got the thumb, but can you talk about the progress he's made and what he's had to learn from being that down defensive end, and now he's playing linebacker and doing a good job for you?
Yeah, you know, he really has made a good transition, like you did, like Harry Carson did. I mean, not just guys that play defensive end, but guys that played in the interior part of the line. So, but Thane's done a nice job in the past year and starting this year, picking up where he left off last year in terms of becoming a better coverage player, more aware behind the line of scrimmage. He's always been pretty good at attacking and going forward like his training was in college as a defensive lineman. But his coverage skills and his ability to recognize things from behind the line and rush the quarterback from depth as opposed to being in a three-point stance have all improved.
Mm-hmm. I saw your quote from the other day that Albert Haynesworth is day-to-day. I'm going to be the guy to ask you about Albert Haynesworth every week. That's my designated role here. But there was some news out on Haynesworth. You know, I guess it's a plea deal. He's not going to be disciplined by the league. Can we expect to see Albert Haynesworth in this third preseason game? I know he's day-to-day, but beyond being day-to-day.
If he's ready, yeah.
So do you anticipate him being ready? Because I know he's been on the practice field.
I don't know, he's day-to-day, Michael.
Well, come on. See, I thought you were going to give me something beyond day-to-day, though.
Well, I can't. I mean, we'll go out there and tomorrow, and if he's ready to go, then he'll practice. If he's not, then he'll do the other things to get ready to go, and then we'll try it again on Wednesday, see where it's at.
How did he look today?
He wasn't here today.
Oh, okay, not here today.
Yeah,
okay.
He was in Washington today.
Okay.
Or is that a trap question?
No.
I mean, really. You could do better than that.
No, it wasn't a trap question.
Man, that's awful. Man. Week two with the trap question.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Coach, the Hoyer situation, I think it was in the second quarter, coming in for Tom on a sort of emergent basis, coaching situational football. Can you explain that process?
Well, it's you know, a little bit like a relief pitcher in baseball. You know, when the relief pitcher goes to the game, he doesn't know whether he's going to have to come in at all, or come in with the bases loaded, or come in at the beginning of an inning, or what it is. So, It's a little bit like that for the backup quarterback. You can be coming in at any time, first down, third down, first quarter, fourth quarter. So
injury, equipment failure, yeah, something like
right,
that.
Yeah, right, something happens, and you never know. So that was the situation Brian was in last week. We told him to be ready to go and at a moment's notice, and we're going to toss him in there. And so we put him in there, let him run a few plays and come out, and that's kind of his preparation for if that were to happen in the game. And, you know, we'll do that with Ryan, too, and let him experience that as well, because that's, you know, that's possibly the way they could be in the game.
Looks like at some positions you've got tremendous depth. How difficult will the evaluation process be over the next couple of weeks, Bill, in trying to determine who makes the roster? And guys that haven't played, how do you make a determination of whether they're a better fit than guys who have been playing right now?
Well, those are really tough questions, Glenn, and that's hard to answer. How's it going to turn out? I don't know. It's up to the players. You know, we'll give them a chance to play, and the ones that play better will play more, and the ones that don't play as well will play a little bit less. But, you know, that really be decided by them. Guys that are injured that aren't able to participate, we have to, you know, we have to do the best we can to make the best decision for the team. That's the only way I can put it. I mean, there's no hard and fast formula, but you have to do what you think is best for the team, and that's what we'll do.
I'd like to get your take on two rookies who played well in game one, Ryan Mallett, obviously, and Ridley in game one. In game two, you saw some things from Ridley, also a fumble. Mallett had the interception. What was your analysis of their growth from game one to game two?
I think, you know, generally speaking, I'd say I think both guys were about the same in both games. They did some good things. They did some things that, you know, weren't really what we were looking for, what they wanted to do. But they did some good things in both games. So, although the situations were different, so some of the things that happened in the first game maybe got corrected in the second game, but then things came up in the second game that didn't come up in the first game, and then they didn't work out well. So, you know, those guys got a lot to learn, like all rookies do. I don't think there's any, you know, you can prepare and you can practice, and then there are real game experiences that are just, you know, a little bit different. And we all have to go through those. We've all had rookie years. We've all, you know, we have all had that first time of playing, that first year of playing, and you just keep learning every week. I mean, veterans learn every week, too, but rookies, you learn a lot more.
Yeah, these reps are very important, especially for the rookies, and one that hasn't gotten a lot is Dowling, Rossi Dowling. How's he looking? Can we see him a little bit? Is he coming along?
Well, I hope so. He, you know, he's been able to start working back in, and hopefully, you know, if he's ready, then, you know, he'll get some playing time, but he'll have to show us out from the practice field, but hopefully he will.
Big corner.
He is. Big, yeah, he is.
Good size.
Yep.
Yeah.
Strong, good tackler.
The first couple of weeks you said you hadn't incorporated a lot of the plays on offense. Have you accelerated that process, and do you have to right now?
Well, we've added, and this is a big week for us because we've put in a lot of our we're putting in a lot of our situational plays, things that come up at the end of the game in various field position situations, or trying to get in position for a field goal, or having to score a touchdown, or, you know, fourth and goal on the 5, fourth and goal on the 15. Plays like that, you know, kicking situation plays that, again, are infrequent, but when they come up, very important. So between our offense, defense, and special team situations, this is a big week for that. And as we tell the team, those plays might come up once a season. They might come up in one game and might not see them again for 15 weeks. But if they come up, they could decide the game. So they're critical plays. They're just not very frequent. And that's a big part of our week this week, and also just getting ready for some things that that we know we're going to need to see that we haven't seen either from our opponents or you know, from ourselves working against each other. But, like, you know, we know defensively the teams aren't going to in preseason run you know, a lot of halfback passes or double reverses or, you know, unbalanced line and things like that, wildcat formations, but we know we're going to see those things during the season. So, you know, we've got to prepare for those, and the same thing offensively. We don't see all the exotic blitzes that we'll see during the season, but we know they're coming, and so those things we've got to prepare for too. So
think,
a lot of things
usually,
like that.
Usually a third preseason game can be a game where you see special teams fakes or things like that. Historically, teams have run second, third preseason game trying to put something on film maybe they wouldn't use
right
during the regular season, so show this one and let teams prepare for them too.
Right. But sure. I mean, we've got to be prepared for that, but if we don't see him in these games, which there's a good chance we won't, then you know, we'll, at some point we're going to see him. We have to make sure that we've got him defended. And this is a good week to work on him. You know, as you know, if you save all that for 1 week, it just really piles up on you. It's, you know, if you save all that for the opener, then you're running an extra 50 plays during the week that maybe three of them will come up, and it's a lot easier to spread them out and do, you know, a few this week, a few next week, a few of the opening week, you know, and then you kind of go through that process and hit everything, and then you get to the bye week, and then you review them again, and then you hit them, you know, a couple of them weekly, and just, you know, sometimes it's 3-4 weeks before you can actually repeat them, but, you know, hopefully if they come in with up within that time frame, you'll know what to do.
Nobody reveals any exotic plays, though, in the preseason, do they? I mean, there's film, there's video, you know. Yeah. Why would you do it in the preseason? You're not catching them off guard, right? You don't show any of your stuff in the preseason, do you?
I think the reason why you do it, like Teddy mentioned, the reason why you do it is just to put it on film. Run a fake punt, and maybe that'll keep somebody from rushing the punter against you in the early part of the season, because they don't want to expose themselves to a fake. So it's a little bit of a cat and mouse right. game. But the bottom line is, you know, we've got to practice them, and whether we see them or not, we can't control that in the game, but we have to prepare for, you know, for all those different kind of situations.
Yeah. What's the game planning progression for you in the preseason? I mean, do you do 10% of what you would do in a regular season in game one and 25% in game three, or does it not work like that at all? You have the same approach in the preseason, and then in the regular season you get to your real preparation.
Well, I think the way that we normally do it, Michael, is whatever we have installed, you know, let's say it's 60 plays, you would pick a group of plays from those 60 and run them in the game. Maybe it would be 25, let's say, especially if you were planning on playing, let's say, three groups in the first preseason game. You know, by the time you run your 65 plays with three different groups, you only really have 20 plays. You know, and rather than run a different play with each group, you have some type of repetition there. So, you know, if you're only going to play a couple groups in the game, you could probably add a few more plays. If you're primarily just going to play one group, then you could add a few more plays to say, you know, 40 plays, 45 plays, whatever it is. You know, you'd add that menu and make it a little bit bigger, and then when you put your other guys in, they would be running plays that they've already run before and probably finish the game that way. So I'd say very seldom in preseason do you put in a new play, like, okay, we're playing so-and-so in preseason. Let's put this and this and this in, and let's see if that works. I think when you plan ahead, you look at a team and say, okay, we know this is something that this team is going to run, so we might as well install it so that we have some practice reps at it, because we know we're going to need it for this game. Like, we're playing a team that runs an over and under defense. Well, we don't want to wait till the day before the game to put in a couple of over and under runs. If we're going to run them in that game, then we put them in, you know, a week ahead of time so that we have time to, you know, get some confidence and run them and be able to evaluate the players. And again, the most important thing in preseason is evaluating the players, not evaluating your scheme. And so, you know, how can you evaluate a player if he doesn't know what to do? So you hope when you put him in the game that he's at least has enough background that he can go out there and play with some confidence and know what to do. And then you can see whether he knows how to play or not. If he doesn't know what to do, then, you know, of course he's not going to play well.
Coach, as the game went on a little bit, second quarter, the Bucks got to Brady a little bit, got some hits on him. Gerald McCoy, a good young offensive lineman, got a nice little club move on Connolly, was able to get to Brady, get a nice hit on him. You got Ndamukong Suh coming up this week. Any type of motivation you've given that right guard position, anything
Suh
like
Williams,
that?
Yeah. Well, you know, the Lions have a good front. They're very active. They're big inside, and they're fast on the edge, you know, with Averill and Van den Bosch and those guys. So they're a good pass rushing front. And, you know, we'll get challenged again. As you know, the passing games, it's all about timing. It's about protection. Receivers coming open and the quarterback delivering the ball. And when any one of those three things, those elements isn't done right, then you're going to have problems. You know, if the receivers aren't open, or if the quarterback can't find them, or if the protection breaks down, then you have problems in the passing game. So, you know, we've got to try to get all that right, but that's a challenge. And the Lions are much better defensively than what they were last year. You know, they've kind of turned over their linebacker group, and you know, they're more experienced in the secondary, and they've got a good front. We know that, so I think they're, you know, they've definitely, you know, showed improvement in their first two preseason games.
All right, Bill. Good luck against Detroit, and we'll see you back here next Monday.
All right, sounds good, Glenn. Michael, Teddy, enjoy it. Thank you.
Quick break, and we got another hour to go here on the Big Show.